It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And you have often heard me whine about January and how boring it is, how tough it is to be a phenologist in January, how little goes on, and that which does happen is pretty subtle, and so nothing is changing. Nothing's changing about my whining, and nothing's changing about what's going on. It is pretty slow out there, but there were, you know, there are always the odd birds that show up at your bird feeder, and some are not so odd. Some are pretty common and have been there all winter. The chickadees come to mind. And, of course, this is the time of year when they begin to sing their Phoebe songs. Ed Dallas over in Deerwood has heard them singing, and down in Northfield, Michelle Martin and her class down at the Prairie Creek Community School have been hearing the chickadees beginning to sing their Phoebe songs. I haven't heard them yet at my house, but it will come. And perhaps it's just, you know, that I haven't been outside as much. The other thing that I've been noticing is that I had a large flock of goldfinches at my thistle feeder, and they were very active and there every day and just enjoying the thistle seed. And then one day I had a single redpole and a single pine siskin show up, and the redpole never came back, but the pine siskin came back. And it's sort of like the cat came back and brought all his friends. Now I have probably 40 or 50 pine siskins, and I don't believe the goldfinches are very happy about that, because the pine siskins are a bit more aggressive than the goldfinches when it comes to possession of the thistle feeder, and they have taken over. And it's seldom now that the goldfinches get to sit on the thistle feeder. There are a lot of spilled seeds on the ground, and I put thistle on a couple of platform feeders that I have, and so there are plenty of opportunities. Nobody's starving, but the pine siskins have definitely taken over the thistle feeder, and their aggression is notable. The dark-eyed juncos that have been hanging around my place are still there. I have them living under my deck. Pardon me. I also have them living in my garage. And when I discovered that they were using my garage, I started putting a handful of millet right at the entry to the garage, right where they get in and out. And boy, it didn't take them long to figure that out. So they're enjoying the relative warmth of my garage and the generosity of my millet feeding that's going on right there at the edge of the garage. So they're hanging in there. There are three or four of them by my count, and I think they're going to be all right. Of course, there are the red-breasted nuthatches and the white-breasted nuthatches and the downy, hairy, and pileated woodpeckers. I got, luckily, I was gifted a couple of deer carcasses this year, and I kept one in reserve, and when they had picked the first one to ribbons, and I do mean ribbons, if you go out and look at those things after the birds have been eating on them for a while, there is little left but some sinuous ribbons kind of floating around on the bone structure. I put a new one out, and the pileated woodpecker came down and started hammering away on it, and I could hear it clearly in the house, and I think if I would have been sitting in the right spot, I might have actually felt it. That bird, when he struck, of course, it's, you know, 25 below zero, and I'm sure that tallow on that deer is pretty hard, but boy, when he hit that thing, you could hear it clearly in the house, and you could practically feel it. Now, I'm probably, that might be a tiny bit of hyperbole there, but it was definitely a smack against that deer carcass. You could really, really hear it clearly. The speckled alders and the birches are still giving up seeds by the dozens, by the thousands, by the millions probably. And those seeds are on top of the snow. Now that we've got another, well, at my house this morning, I had close to 8 inches of fluffy white snow, new snow. And I can't wait to get out, kind of walk around on that and see what new things have fallen. And that's one of the fun things about this time of year. When it does snow like this, it's like you get a brand new whiteboard and you can go out and check it out and see who's making tracks in it, see what trees are putting seeds on it, see who's eating where and what they're having. And it's just, it's kind of fun getting out there. I've got a ruffed grouse that's been wandering around my woods and my yard. And the other morning, the Saturday morning when it was oh so cold, it was up in an aspen tree quite early and looked like it was about the size of a volleyball. Now, I would have said a basketball, but that's a bit of an exaggeration. But it was nearly as large as a volleyball in terms of its puffed out feathers. And there it was, kind of dancing on the branches and keeping itself fed and thereby warm. So it was doing pretty well. The 19th, 20th, the night of Friday night, Saturday morning, I reached 33 below zero. And that was the first time I've been below 30 degrees below zero this winter. And so I made a note of that. Just was handed a note here that said, Megan, who lives in Meadowlands, reports a robin is hanging around. And that's a bit unusual. We don't see a lot of robins in the winter here in northern Minnesota, but more and more are staying. And there are probably two reasons for that. One, the winters aren't as cold, even though we've had a little bit of a cold snap here. And two, more and more people are planting these decorative crab apples that put out a fruit that is pretty much unpalatable for most of the spring, summer, and fall. And then in winter, when, you know, your choices of food supply become considerably reduced, well, then those apples start looking pretty tasty and they start to eat them. And so there are enough around that the robins can survive. It's a roll of the dice whether or not they'll actually, you know, make it. But certainly in their case, probably worth the effort. Looking back on this date over the past few years, let's see, a year ago on the 22nd and 17, 2 years ago now, barred owl, downy woodpeckers, pine siskins, more seeds from the speckled alders, red fox in 2016, black bear, bear cam pictures came to note on the 22nd in 2012, a varied thrush on the 22nd in 2010, northern goshawk in 22nd in 2009, scorpion fly in 2009, bohemian waxwings in 2007, a coyote in 2007. That reminds me, along my ski trail, when the dog and I were out skiing the other day, and along the ski trail, we came across some coyote scat and several spots where the coyotes had stopped to urinate. And this is the time of year when the canids, the dogs, coyotes, fox and wolves all start marking territory and advertising their presence as a means of attracting the attention of the opposite sex. So you're going to see a lot of that if you're out, especially if you get out in the wild countries and get away from the traveled areas, the roads and such, and get on a ski trail or just a walking trail, snowshoeing. You're going to find those kinds of little surprises here and there where the canids are leaving their message so that they can attract the attention of the opposite sex. And finally, from 1989, a varied thrush, and it visited a feeder in Grand Rapids. Not my feeder, but one here in Grand Rapids. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody out there listening this morning has a varied thrush at their feeder as well. These are western birds, and they come into northern Minnesota periodically in the wintertime. And I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago that Sean Conrad had one at his feeder for most of the winter. And then I think he had it until just about April. And I don't have any reports of varied thrush past April. It seems like April is when they finally wake up and go, hey, I got to get back to the mountain states. This prairie living is not for me. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you are willing to share, we'd love to hear from you.